going to turn now to Rich Carlson, who will lay out the important stories for today. I might ask that you hold questions other than those for clarification at the end.
Thank you, Susan. I'd like to thank Susan for coordinating this and Richard for coordinating this meeting. So come forward and talk to you about PerfSonar and get some feedback and ideas and discussions going about this. I am here representing the PerfSonar development team. We are at a stage now where we're starting to figure out how do we do the deployment side while we continue to have our engineers in the background do more development. And so this is our first real opportunity to reach out to show people what this does in a larger scale, to get beyond our little confines and to find out what is going to be, where things move, and which directions we should be supporting in our effort to make this a useful tool, a useful system for a large community.
Could you get the slide number, saying the next slide? And I forgot, for those joining you remotely, I'm going to suggest that you click on Richard's slides. They've been posted on the agenda page.
As Susan remarks, there's a version of the slides on the agenda page. I'll be going through them. It's my concept. I got some feedback from our other developers, and I cleverly ignored most of their comments and suggestions in presenting and generating these slides. So most of this is my view of what's going on inside the PerfSonar community. It is not meant to represent everything, but I think I capture what it is we're trying to accomplish, and we look forward to discussions on how do we make this better and more useful. So I'll go to slide one. And one of the things I want to try to get to is I tend to work from simple to complex when I try to sort of educate people. And so I want to go back and actually kind of start really at the beginning of what are we doing, what are we using network measurement and monitoring tools for. So I came up with these three major operations or functions that everybody does to some extent when they run a network or try to use a network. And the first step is they want to monitor the network to verify that it's operating properly. Health is working. So your network operations staff, your IT department will typically gather data from the routers, the switches, the infrastructure that's in place on your institution, on your campus, on a backbone network. Any organization that runs a network infrastructure will capture data about that network and use that to monitor its structure, its health, and to look for problems or look to see when upgrades need to take place. Just how does the network work? The next thing that people do is they want to measure this. This typically is more of an end-user function than a network operations function, but it can be both. So you can measure the network end-to-end using a variety of tools, or you can have the network monitoring staff run active measurements, say, between two peer networks, so you can continue to watch parts of the infrastructure you don't have direct access to monitor. But you can watch this in a long term and keep track, again, to see if the network is operating properly. Lastly, there's a new emerging group of tools that I mentioned very briefly that start to go beyond just measuring, but to try to diagnose what is going on with the network infrastructure and give the operations staff and the users more information about how do you go out and quickly fix problems and isolate where a problem is rather than just using the long-term historical data to watch for trends. So I'm going to go to slide three, and I'll just go back through a little bit of stuff and again, go back to my measurement, monitoring, and diagnostic side. So this is a monitoring phase. This is something a NOC typically does, a network operations center typically does. They collect data, and this is something called MRTG. This is a graph shows some traffic flows from the Large Hadron Collider science community at the University of Nebraska. And at the beginning, you see a very low peaks in the utilization. That was the standard traffic that was running over the campus infrastructure. And in the middle of May, the physics community turned on, started to actually pull data down. And you can see that that created a very different traffic flow matrix over the network. While this is publicly available, It tends to be a little hard to find sometimes. If you're not the network operator that's running this, you may not know which graph to look at to see if your traffic is influencing or impacting the other users of the community. So if I go to the next slide, there are a lot of advantages to doing this. Everyone does this on a continuing basis, as I said, operating networks. So they collect this data, they archive the data, they use the data. There are some very standard tools that do this. They're integrated tightly into your network operations staff, and it helps them to monitor and run their network in a long-term basis. Some of the disadvantages of this is that you have to know a lot of details about the structure of a network to make use of it. If you don't know which router interface, and the router might have 3 dozen interfaces, you can't gather the right statistics to figure out what's going on. So, and if you don't know where this is posted, when I went to look for that previous graph, I had to know somebody at the university and say, I'd like to get a copy of this graph. And then I had to convince them it was one of the graphs they were already collecting, because they said, you want me to collect data? I said, no, no, you're already collecting this. I'd like to see this. And they finally found me the URL that I needed to use so I could grab that diagram. Persona is an attempt to make it trivial to grab that information when you need it, where you need it. So if you don't have the contacts, what can you do? The next slide is network measurement. Again, this is something that goes on quite often between either in virtual collaboration or between network operators and peers, where you run a tool that measures, in this case, I'm measuring the throughput on a repetitive basis, and that gets graphed, and I get a long-term trend showing what the utilization network and whether the capacity is accessible or not for any typical application that goes on. It's very useful in understanding things that you don't actually control because one of these endpoints may not be in my local network, but it provides me insight into the operation of the network as a whole, more of the end-to-end path rather than my local infrastructure. But again, the advantages here is that you can collect all this data, you can do the long-term testing, and you can find changes, and when things start to fail, you can notice them, and there are several tools you can use. You can collect throughput, you can collect delay, you can collect jitter. There's a lot of things you can collect, but typically most of the tools to collect this data are client-server models, and they require you to have remote access to the remote site. A lot of sites do not leave these things up running long-term because of the potential for them generating large flows of data and impacting all your other users. So it becomes a very difficult challenge to find out when I can do this or where I can do this. And if you're trying to cross multiple domains, you wind up with conference calls that with 8 people. It takes you 3 weeks to schedule the call. You finally get a test time. It's at 3 in the morning in some time zone. And it's just very difficult to do this on a long-term basis. To diagnose problems. So, again, Persona starts to ameliorate this by giving you access to infrastructure, a suite of tools that can do a better job, and the ability to find tools, which is a very important point of Persona. It's not only what's there, but where is it and how useful is it. My next slide is the more advanced diagnostic tools. And as you can see from this graph, they help you to also not just collect data, but analyze where problems are. This is an example of a slide that came up just about a week and a half ago, where the networking staff at Pacific Northwest Laboratory, PNNL, in Richland, Washington, started asking questions about why is the throughput to Washington only 328 megabits per second when it's over 900 going to Salt Lake City, or their entry point into the network that we operate in Seattle, which again is over 950 megabits per second. Just looking at that, one of the initial responses would be, there's something wrong with the wide area network between Salt Lake City and Washington. But when you use the advanced tools, you see that the round trip time, the time it takes for a packet to cross that network, went up by a factor of 3, and your performance went down by a factor of 3. That's a little clue that something's going on, And you also see the loss that she's generated over this network was pretty consistent, and it was even at the very beginning of our network. And the packet reordering rate, which is a function of how TCP is viewing arrival of packets, clearly shows that the problem is not in this network that they're trying to measure, but before they get into the network itself. So some other portion of the network prior to entering Seattle is where they need to go find and look for problems. These diagnostic tools will help you find and quickly identify, here is a section of network to look at, not the problem inside the link between Salt Lake City and Washington. And typically in our previous cases, what we do is we spend months arguing about why the network operations staff on, in this case, Internet 2 doesn't report any problems over that link, while the end users are complaining constantly that the throughput is not what they anticipated. And everybody's just looking in the wrong spot because the tools didn't tell us anything more about what was going on. So again, just to summarize, there are a lot of advantages to do this. You can collect data, you can understand where things are going, and you can get multiple sets of parameters to start on, to diagnose the network infrastructure and rather than just measure or monitor it. Unfortunately, again, this is another disadvantage is you need to find these things and make sure that the ones that you're trying to test to are in your path or covering parts of the network infrastructure that you're actually looking at to see. So my next slide then is to say, well, personar, what is this personar stuff? And we have been running networks. Internet 2 has been running networks for over a decade. The Department of Energy has been running networks for multiple decades. Most of the federal institutions have been running large backbone high-performance networks for multiple decades. They've all been doing all these things up to that I've talked about previously, but there's been no good large-scale coordination amongst these groups in a formal manner. There's been informal collaboration. We all know each other. We know who the engineers are. We can go talk to each other. But again, this relies on the individual's expertise. It doesn't allow some scientists, some climate modelist to make a request to say, what's going on? Why are my flows not working properly? Because they don't have access to the engineering staff. They may know somebody in operation, but they don't actually deal with this, so they start digging around, and it takes months to find the right people to try to solve the problem. So Personar was viewed up as part of an operation and organization that says, how do we address this in a more formal and systematic manner? And so the Department of Energy, ESNet staff, Internet 2 staff, the European network consortium called Dante or GEANT, which is the network over there, and the Brazilians showed up and said, we'd like to work together collaboratively to develop a set of services that can be used to exchange fair information and standardize the format of a lookup service, the topology database services, the AAA services that allow you to build large, federated, multi-domain network monitoring measurement infrastructures. So this was inherently a very cross-domain effort and geographic and international effort. And it was an idea to take all the information that each of these domains was already generating and collecting and share that easily with their peers. The goal would be then that any one of the network engineering staffs or any one of the individual scientists could start to begin a diagnostic process to quickly isolate where things were not working as well as they needed or anticipated and focus everyone's energy on solving those problems. So my next slide, again, is this personar overview, which is these high-level services. We did go through the Open Grid Forum to provide a venue to make the standardization, and the schemas that were defined and are used by personar grew out of the Network Measurement Working Group inside the OGF. So these are not things that we developed arbitrarily or in isolation. We have been working in a global collaboration from the beginning to make sure this is actually useful and widely used by a large number of individuals or a large number of institutions. We've also gone through and done the reference implementation. So we defined the standards. here's what the schema is to make a request for this kind of, and here's a reference implementation of that service. You can instantiate it and then start using it, rather than starting over and saying, well, here's the spec, how do I develop a piece of software to implement that specification? So my next slide is the framework. These are the control devices. They allow you to create archives. So one of the services that there is a archive that contains information either from a regularly scheduled test or an on-demand test, information that is useful for operating and looking at the long-term basic health of the network, a lot of the monitoring activities can extract this. And so your network operations staff can use the same tools they use to monitor their local infrastructure to gain insight into other people's infrastructures without having to spend a lot of time and effort in training your staff to learn new tools, learn important data formats, learn new operations. They can use their existing infrastructure and tools to monitor not only their network, but paths of interest for the other members of the community that they need to support. We also have test points. The idea that you need to collect measurements on demand or on a long-term basis, being able to find a test point and then understand that that test point is useful. If we're trying to go here from Washington to Los Angeles, most networks have multiple paths, and if your data is taking the northern path and all your test points you find or identify are on the southern route, that might give you very unuseful information about how the network is operating or where problems are. So you'd like to understand not only what tools are available, but where they're located in the infrastructure. And you want to do this in a manner where you don't have to know who it is that owns that information. And you also want to do it in a manner that the information provider maintains control over that information, so you don't export or share things that you can't or don't want to. So the security and authorization mechanisms to allow you to say, I'm willing to export this kind of information to this kind of community, and you can change those rules based on your needs rather than the needs of some foreign institution is key to making this all work. And also you want to provide that administrative contact, so when somebody says, how do I get more information about this? I need to get more details. Right now it's administrative prohibited. Can I go in and get an exception in this case? Here is the contact information you need to do to begin that discussion on a one-by-one, case-by-case basis. On the next slide, I just pointed out there are two reference implementations. The first one was written in Java. This is being used mostly by the Europeans. It was then recoded in Perl, again, to make it simple and to have both multiple reference implementations and to show that the schemas that are being used are interchangeable and usable by a wide community. So you can go out and write your own modules. There are APIs to help you send messages. You can then augment tools and do things, but this is now an extensible set of services and messages that you can send over the network. Our targets in the Internet 2 and the Persona community were really to support our universities and our operations staff, people who use and manage our networks. Internet 2 is a member consortium of universities and research institutions. That's our major constituent. The federal laboratories inside ESNet are their major constituents. Europeans, again, have a lot of research institutions, universities. So this is where we've begun our development and implementation effort. This is by no means our complete goal. Anything we can do to commercialize this or bring this up into a wider community would be very beneficial for our developers and for the community at large. The next slide just kind of shows some of the services and the architecture broken down into large groups. So there are data services models that allow you to create these measurement points, these archives, and to transform data from one format to another so you can use it in your existing tool. There's the analysis and visualization sections. So there's these GUIs, web pages, and alarms that can go off. One of the major focuses of this infrastructure is to help you separate the collection of data from the consumption of data. We would like to see a large community of people adding new tools, adding new data sets into the environment. So if you have a unique tool or a unique system that generates a data set, you can create it, put it in a persona or an environment, and store that in one of our measurement archives, and then other people can grab that. So if there's unique visualization models or analysis engines, you can then grab data that already exists. One of the challenges for the research community in building better tools, if you want to analyze data, you've got to collect data. If you want to collect data, you've got to distribute your tools in a wide environment to actually understand what the infrastructure you're monitoring and measuring is. Persona allows you to get information, access to a larger set of data, or to make your tool more possible and easier to deploy because it becomes available, findable, and usable by a larger and larger community. And then lastly, these infrastructure things, the AAA services, the lookup services, the topology, and the configuration, so you can control and manage the infrastructure that we're looking. Persona, a lot of it is in the infrastructure range. Using it is more in the data structure and the analysis and visualization range. Just to give you a couple quick examples of using Persona, we've got some real-time displays. You can gather the data and put it into weather maps or visualization charts, things that your NOC staff, your operations staff, typically use on a daily basis. And you can do some very interesting things. Joe Metzger from ESNet created a very simple application that allows you to find out what is going on a path of interest without having any prior knowledge of the routers or the infrastructure that you're crossing on that. So I'll show you a real quick example. This is a measurement tool that just said, here we're monitoring data, and we move the data from actually one network to another. But you can collect data. This is just router statistics from a normal Juniper router, Cisco router, that any NOC staff will be looking at, and you can graph it. So instead of going in and using a standalone tool, a stovepipe that says, I'll collect it, I'll visualize it, and I'll display it, it's one tool is collecting it, another tool is generating graph, and the third tool is writing the display. So you can grab and easily link everything together. This is a snapshot, a screenshot of this tool that I said Joe Metzger wrote, the visualizer. You run the traceroute command. It's a very typical command that a lot of people understand and use. You then take the output of that traceroute and you drop it into a window on your browser, and it automatically goes through, looks at that information, finds all the routers, finds the archive and where the data for that router interface was stored, and retrieves it and displays it. So on this graph, you see a blue line near the top showing the capacity of that link, and on the bottom, you see the current utilization of that link. So if you're trying to say, well, there must be something wrong, the capacity on that link is small, or the utilization is too high, here it is without having to know anything about the network infrastructure, who operated it, or where the routers were located. All you need to do is run one command from your desktop, and you can get access to all the details for that path that your traffic was actually using at this time. So again, we're just trying to show that not only is this Net2's data, but ESNet's data, JAN's data, I could do this today between a European partner and one of my academic university partners, and I would be able to get data from all the networks in between, or all the networks that have installed and are using Persona infrastructure, which unfortunately is not all the networks in that path. That's why we're here evangelizing this and hoping that you will join us in deploying this and making this work. On the next slide, I listed some of the tools that the developers, in order to actually demonstrate and make these demos that I talked about, have done some of the work to personalize some of the tools. So Cacti is a standard tool that a lot of network operations staff use. There are a lot of visualization tools that have been generated by the Persona development team so they can actually show off what it is. I won't go through those. Jason Zarowski, my colleague, who has done a lot of this work, if you're interested, can show you half a dozen of these things off the top of his head. There are several measurement tools, Pinger, which is a tool, from the DOE environment, which measures round-trip times used by the high-energy physics and nuclear physics community. OWAMP, which is an internet or IETF standard protocol for measuring one-way delay measurements. BWCTL, which is a tool to measure throughput and to control access, so you can actually leave these servers running without the impacts of the raw tool. Personar buoy, which is a system that allows you to create regularly scheduled tests among peers using a simple point-and-click interface. You get a list of all the machines that are running, either a BWCTL or an OAN server. You can point and click and say, I'd like to run a repetitive test to this node, this node, this node, and this node. You want to run them every N hours. It'll fire off and manage that and control that operation and allow you then to display this information either in its own graphical format, or you can just use a API and incorporate it back into your standard operating environment. So it shows up on your screen without any new knowledge or experience from your staff. And then the diagnostic tools, there are two of them with that we support and talk about. Network diagnostic tool, NDT, is the one that I showed that gathered the data before. It's a Java applet with a web services based server. And then NPAD, which is written in dark blue down here in black, which is is a tool out of the Pittsburgh Supercomputer Center. Again, these things go beyond just measuring, but trying to tell you why you're not getting the performance you anticipated. One of the other issues that we're looking at is what should a scientist expect? Terabytes of data are trivial amounts of data nowadays in science experiments. Moving that amount of data in a reasonable time, such as an hour, is something that's doable over our high-performance networks today. As a challenge, we believe that it is possible to have any scientist who works on a U.S. university who is sharing and peering data with any other institution to be able to move data at 10 megabytes per second. That is about two to three orders of magnitude better than they're doing today, and well within the reach of even new wireless network infrastructure. So this is not something that requires extraordinary effort. It requires an extraordinary amount of tuning and understanding to get this all to work right. So we're trying to raise the bar to make sure that the communities know the networks work. They should be able to use them, and when they're not, they should be able to complain, and by using tools like NDT and NPAD, they can complain effectively enough that their problems will get solved, not just pushed on the side saying, well, we don't understand why, but that's the way the network works. To go to my next slide, one of the things for deployment is that we've got a large, complex suite of tools. We have then decided there are multiple ways to actually get this out and become usable. If you are a network engineer and you want to get hands down and a lot of dirty, you can go and find the source files for all these tools and services and compile them on your own machine and start from scratch and build and hit the infrastructure on a campus or institution. Not everyone wants to go that level or has the expertise to go that level, so the next step up is to make these things standard packages. So you put them in an RPM repository and keep them in volume, just like they load any other package that occurs inside a normal Linux distribution. We've gone another step and said, let's make this a bootable CD. So you can download an ISO image, or you can ask it for a disk, and you know the disk with this kind of label attached to it. You drop this into a tray, you turn it on, and you have the services running and the tool suite running, allow you to become a full member of the Personar infrastructure and start actually helping your community start getting better information access and the ability to understand what's going on your network infrastructure and your peer network infrastructure. This is at least three models for pushing data out and doing the deployment, not the development. So again, we are really looking here now at the deployment phase. We certainly are interested in development instruments that are not working. That will go back to our developers. So we're looking to see how do we push this out. What are the minimum set of services that you must run in order to be an effective member of a person or a community? I put up here a straw man to say that you must run the lookup service and the topology service so people will find information that you have and be able to tell if that's useful. This is very analogous to DNS, where you have a domain name system, and there's a standardized structure for how you make a request. There are some tools for how you define things and retrieve information so you know that a machine exists. This, again, is that level of service for a measurement infrastructure and topology statement, so you know that that box that you're trying to test to is reasonable and would provide you information about what you're doing rather than just an interesting measurement point. There are a bunch of other services and tools, which are on my next slide, that can be used very effectively, but we're trying to gain from the community what it is that's essential, what must they deploy, and what are the optional deployments. And as DNS has evolved, there are split DNS teams where the information that you use internally is different from the information that is an external view. These lookup and topology servers carry that same semantic, so you can control what it is your internal users see and what an external community sees, and they may be different. It's the same service. Information you're sharing is what you, the administrator of that domain, control, not what we, person owner development team, control. This is the first form cut at a matrix for listing the tools and services. I did this last night after I got here, and there were a couple typos in it. So on the third line down where it says user remote domains data, that should be use. So you can generate and use information, you can share information, or you can use information that other people generate. And each one of the services and tools, CACTI, should be CACTI, again, another little typo in there. But this is our step now to go to the research community, the members of the JET, and to this community here to say, how open are you willing to be? Are you willing to actually expose some measurements to external users in a controlled manner? Or are we only allow people to run tests from inside your infrastructure? Or will you like to look at data from a remote system so you can make your troubleshooting tasks easier, but for administrative policy reasons, you are not able to share a lot of the details of what your infrastructure looks like? These are the decisions you can make. We'd like to flesh out this matrix. We have the right set of services and attributes. Are there new tools that should be added in here? And we have the complete list of things that people would want to do. Is that the right list? Is there more? Do we need more details? And that's kind of what I would hope to come out of some of this workshop today is a little bit of fleshing out on this, a little bit of analysis of this. How do we expand this to make a good matrix of anyone walking in saying, I'd like to know more about persona, what can I share, what can I consume? This is a matrix to help them understand and add value that if everyone is sharing DWCTL or OAMP data points, that maybe that's something as a community you'll figure out how to do inside your infrastructure to provide benefit. If you see benefit in seeing it from the remote side, how can I do that on the remote side to become a member of the community and be an active participant? So my last slide here is these discussion points. Is my service and tool description complete? Are there other things that I've missed? Do we need to make this an exhaustive list or an illustrative list? What's the right way of going about it? The use cases. Do we need to flesh that out, expand that, contract it? Do I have the right syntax there? What is going on? And what have we missed? If this persona infrastructure and suite of services is going to be useful, we'll need to know what holes, what service we forgot, what our deployment issues are, what is preventing us from moving forward. And that's what we're looking for in this community to help us begin the dialogue. The large-scale networking community has challenged and tasked the JET to deploy this infrastructure into federal research networks. We're now in the process of starting to look at that matrix, get all of our federal networks and our exchange points to pull this out and start building this, figure out what our deployment strategy is. There will be another workshop in several months, a full day, to hammer out much more the details, probably more the technical details. Anyone here is certainly invited to attend and participate. We're trying to be inclusive, not restrictive. But that kind of ends where I'm at, and I'll turn the podium over to guide our discussions on what our next steps are. And I'm certainly willing to lead some of this discussion, but I'll let Susan control the meeting and decide how to move forward next. Thank you.